I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Hey guys, I'm Stelly FD from the Startup Chat. You know, my background has been in sales my entire life, but the more recently, I started a company originally that was called Elastic Sales, offering B2B startups in Silicon Valley outsourced sales teams on demand, helping them develop and scale up their sales process. And we built internal software to help us run all these different campaigns and do all these sales things for all these different companies. And that internal software turned out to be the future of the business. That's all we do today. It's called Close.io, and it's a CRM software that's focused for inside sales teams and that startups around the world are using. So that's my background in sales.
And I'm Heaton from the Startup Chat. And my background is that my first internet company that I started in 2003 was helping other people with online marketing. So we were a services company, an agency. And all my companies since then have been started out of that consulting company, and because of the amount of money we were able to make and amount of success that we had with the consulting company. And so I'm mostly a marketer first. Now I really care about product and marketing. All my businesses right now have a blog that gets more than a few hundred thousand visitors a month. So I tend to keep up with marketing more than anything else and help other people with marketing as well. And today, we wanted to give you our backgrounds for all of you that don't really know us, because we were going to talk about sales and marketing, and in some cases, it'll probably get into sales versus marketing. So, Stelly,
yes.
How do you want to do this?
So, here's the framework that I want to use. So, I want to talk about the things marketers don't get about sales and the things that salespeople don't get about marketing. And maybe we'll be able to build some bridges. So these two groups or these two topics unite a lot better with people and with teams so they can work better and be more successful down the line. So let me ask you first, what do you think are some things that salespeople, your experience, just don't get about marketing?
Yeah, I think the way I think about sales as a marketer is that sale, and also actually as a founder and having seen sales teams and stuff, is sales is a very brute force effort. Where it's like you're just picking up the phone, getting rejected, and it's brute force. So you're just basically willing your way to the close, forcing yourself to like do the follow-ups and stay motivated as you hear a lot of no's. While with marketing, the way to do marketing is experimentation and a ton of it. And yes, there's a brute force component to it, but at the end of the day, it's a much more quicker process, or it tends to be historically, of doing experimentation. So you see a lot of marketers just being like, well, you could just test that, or you could just experiment with it. And you know, the channels and the things you do are generally pretty much out there, and you can learn a lot about them because there's a lot of content out there, but you're always also challenged with new things. And I think sales, you're not necessarily always challenged with new things in the same way. While with marketing, and the learning is endless.
All right. So that's an interesting perspective. I both agree with it. There's another way of looking at it, which is that I think one thing that is tough about sales is that it's pretty binary. Like there's very little room for fluff and BS, and there's really no place to hide. So, you know, I feel like, and this is not all marketers, the best marketers and the best salespeople don't have these issues, but I feel like in marketing, sometimes there are places to hide, right? There's work that you can do that's busy work. There's work that you can do that is, you know, vanity driven. There's work that you can do that looks really cool, but nobody really knows if it did anything. There are places to hide. You can have a good and a bad day, and maybe nobody notices. In sales, it's pretty brutal in the sense that there's no place to hide. There's no like,
it's binary.
It's binary. And it also there's really no room for like a bad day or a bad week. Or I was not that productive, or I didn't do that good of a job, because everybody instantly knows and sees it. Like if you show up at work in market, if I show up at work even today as a founder sometimes, and I don't feel like it as much, and most of the things that I would do today is marketing related, I'm just in front of my screen. Nobody really knows. It's hard to tell for people that today I was just a little less productive than the next day. But when you're in sales, you're on the phone, people hear it. Like, it's just clear as day. Everybody gets in that, wow, today this person's not doing a good job. Or today, funny enough, this person's not on the phone a lot, right? So there's really like you have, it's a performance sport in the sense that you have to show up every damn day. You have to bring it 100%. And the days you don't, everybody knows. It's full, like just, it's very easy to pick up on. So it's very merciless in that sense. Whereas marketing has a bit more privacy, gives a bit more space, I think, for people to hide or people maybe to have, you know, differences in performance without everybody in the company picking up. So it is, you know, a potentially a space to work in that allows for some slacking. But, you know, it also, as you said, it also is, to me, without marketing, I mean, in most cases, without marketing, if marketing is doing a great job, sales is going to be killing it. And if marketing is doing a horrible job, sales is always going to be struggling. So to a large degree, I think that salespeople rely on great marketers for them to improve their lives in a way or not. So
let's take it from there. So yeah. I've got something in my mind about this, right? And so this is an interesting way we could start thinking about specific scenarios and things like that. So yeah. For me, as a you know, seeing marketing, the number one complaint that I hear from sales, and I'd love for you to address it and help salespeople think about this better, and also marketers. But the one thing I hear is that even when we had a lot of leads, they're still complaining if the numbers are down and saying the leads are not good enough, they're not qualified, whatever. And that's if the numbers are down. If the numbers are up, they're happy to take all the credit. But if the numbers are down, even if it's their even if it's their problem, the number one thing I've heard in B2B companies is, oh, the leads suck. Regardless of how many there are, regardless of all that, and that almost inevitably every time, especially if it's a sales-driven company, leads to a marketing effort to prove that the leads are great. That's why companies, like the first time that happens, they go look for a lead scoring tool, right? And then they go try to prove that, oh, you know, it's great. And then you see things broken out to solve problems like MQLs, marketing qualified leads, and SQLs, sales qualified leads, and you just start breaking it apart. And then eventually, like, either you figure it out or just keeps having this cycle. You know, when numbers are down, marketing is blamed, and it has something to do with the quality of the leads. What do you got there?
Yeah, this is a really good one. And so there's many things in there. So let's talk about that. So I think that a lot of this, almost all of it, has to do with expectations. And with expectations and empathy is really the solution to sales and marketing working well together. So number one, I think that sales teams, and this is an early tip that I'll throw out there even before the end of the episode. So I think that marketing teams should be doing some amount of sales, maybe once in a month, maybe for one day, the marketing team is sitting on the phone and calling the new leads and qualifying them or pitching them or whatever the hell you do, just for the marketing team to see what the job is, that what happens is the next step. And also the marketing team can do some really good research in asking these people, hey, how did you hear about us? Oh, you read that blog post we posted? I actually wrote that. Why did you like it? How did you find it?
So yeah, but honestly, that doesn't help me as a marketer. Sorry. Like, you're a sales guy suggesting that to me. I don't care. Just think about it. Think about what you just said, right? Like, I don't care. I don't want to go sit on the damn sales calls. I'm trying to go get you guys leads. I'm just saying that's an objection I've heard to the exact thing you suggested. So what do you do then?
So what I do then is I tell you that your job is not to just get me leads. Your job is to get me great leads. And if you don't know what the interaction is with the leads you're creating, how are you going to create really good leads?
Now the marketing guy is going to quit. What are you going to do? He's going to quit because you're trying to tell him to do how to do his job. I'm serious. Like, this is like one of the reasons marketing hates sales. It's like, dude, don't tell me how to do my job.
So first of all, let's step back. The my whole suggestion is not just to have marketing do sales for a while. My whole suggestion would be also for sales to do a little bit of marketing. This is not a full-time job thing. This is an exercise in empathy and true understanding on like what it is to do that job.
Yeah, but how are you gonna get a sales team to tell a marketing team that? Have you ever tried this? Like, seriously, because like
I have. Unless
you're the founder or CEO and you really care, that's the only person that can get this done. You're talking about.
Yes, I mean that's the only perspective I have. I'm not saying that the sale. So, first of all, this was really not a suggestion for solving the problem that you described. This is an overall suggestion that I think that teams that need to work really closely together but have totally different jobs, I think it's a good exercise for these teams to walk in the shoes of the other side for a little bit just to understand the other side better, communicate better, and do a better job working together. And we did this with engineering, where we had engineers do a bunch of cold calls or a bunch of calls for a while, and then we had the sales team go through an exercise of trying to build a little app, and we did that on a company retreat just to create an environment where both sides understand each other a lot better so they can work well together. And that's something that comes down from the top. So yes, as a founder, this is something that I would demand. If somebody wants to quit because of that, they can fuck off. Like that's not what the sales team should be telling the marketing team.
But here's the thing, right? That's a tip. That's great. That's fine. Right. But that doesn't get to the heart of the problem. So let's get to the heart of the problem.
Yes.
That's fine. I like your tip.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with
yes.
it. But I want a solution to my problem. Let's stay on this problem. It's
right.
a big problem.
So,
right?
So the heart of the problem, I think, is that the expectations that both parties have. So in this case, a lot of times the problem is that the sales team in a B2B company, because there are leads that are being generated through marketing, will fall into a habit of feeling completely at the mercy of the leads, and then basically not owning responsibility for their own performance when things go down. Just like you said,
it's a loss of control.
It's a loss
or an appearance of control that they never had. Maybe?
Yes, yes. And,
okay.
And with that, that unfortunately, you create a culture within the sales team that is just a very passive one of like, yeah, I mean, we got like X amount less leads this month than last month. Hence the explanation for everything that's happening wrong on the sales side of things. So I think that this is a tough thing to do, because you don't want your sales team to be doing part of the time the inbound leads, and then when they don't get enough, do something else. But you need to think about like how you clearly divide responsibilities for what's happening, and what is the responsibility of the marketing team in terms of what they need to deliver, let's say, a number of leads. But what is the responsibility of the sales team to make the most out of what they get? And both parties need to understand that you will never have perfect control over your own destiny, but that doesn't mean that you are not responsible for the end results that you're creating.
So is that why we now have MQLs and SQLs?
It's because part of it.
Because marketing hands it off and it might not be approved, and some percentage get approved or whatever, and then they turn into an SQL.
Part of it is that, but also part of it is that I think that when you look at inbound leads, I think that a lot of sales teams, especially in the startup world, are trained into believing that if they talk to somebody and that person is not like, not super happy to talk to them, not almost ready to buy, then it was not a great lead. And there's a difference between doing transactional sales or offering support sales and doing sales, right? So when you get a lead and you call them and they're like, well, I don't want to call and I don't like your software, that doesn't mean that that's not a qualified lead. That like their interest level or how hot they are or how excited to talk to you, a lot of times salespeople confuse that with if something is qualified or not. And they lean too heavily on the kind of super excited, happy leads as like the ones they want to talk to, because it's just easy. It's easy to sell to these people. All you have to do is give them some information, follow up with them, and then they close themselves.
So I want to double down on this. So what was really helpful was the fact that, especially as a marketer, the empathy around whatever I'm doing affects every single salesperson and what they're able to do. I think even just that realization isn't necessarily the common notion, right? So
right.
So that was really cool, because now I have a better understanding as a marketer of how salespeople think and how much they believe I am actually able to impact their output, right? Which is great. Right, that's actually what I think where the empathy point needs to be, and then as you were saying, I think I'd love to understand what you would do as a salesperson if you got hit with a lead that was, let's say, marketing qualified, but had that high barrier to actually even wanting to talk to you. What would you do?
So I think that the company must decide what is your sales approach, and depending on the quantity and quality of leads that are available, and depending on the value of a particular lead to your business, I think that there is either a culture of like every quality. I don't even understand what there's a difference between marketing qualified and sales qualified, because qualified should be some common criteria And there shouldn't be a like, well, for marketing, if somebody fills out these three things, then they are qualified. And for sales, it's different things. Like that to me, that makes no sense.
I agree with you.
So,
but this is the situation many companies are in right now.
I know,
but where they have both of those. So, what do you suggest?
What I suggest is that we come to some common ground on what qualified means, and that either we tell our sales team that when we get people, like the hotness or readiness to buy is not maybe part of what qualifies somebody or not. So either we have a sales team and a sales culture that says the people that are least interested in talking to the salesperson, but still are qualified in terms of like they could be a great customer, they are the best leads because they're the leads where having a sales team pays dividends. Like that's where you actually do your work versus if you call somebody and they're ready to buy and give you a credit card instantly, you're not really adding that much value to the company as a salesperson. You're just
What you're saying is salespeople shouldn't always expect to be spoon-fed in every single sales environment.
Yes.
Some environments, it might be a spoon-fed situation, which is fine. Usually I think I see those where the teams are more mature, larger team has SDRs and things like that, where inside sales is mostly spoon fed, unless you're on kind of the outbound side or something like that.
And maybe as a company, you decide that it's not worth the effort and energy and time to take somebody that really doesn't want to be sold to and turn them around. Or somebody that says, I checked out your software, but I hate it. Don't call me again. Turn that around, right? In some cases, it makes no sense. And you only want to talk to the easy, low-hanging fruit because you don't have the money to pay and the time to invest into these type of leads. In some cases, you have. But a lot of teams don't make that distinction or that decision. It's just they just send leads your way. And salespeople will always, at some point, if nobody gives them direction, go, well, when I talk to somebody that is willing to buy, that's a good lead. And when I talk to somebody who hates me and doesn't want to talk to me, that's a bad lead. But that's not necessarily true from a business perspective.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I mean, another solution I've seen is around making sure that when the lead comes in, it gets predefined already in one of these buckets based on the kind of responses that they said on the marketing side. So the way you could solve it is you could get marketing to at least get the signal, not necessarily have readiness to buy or not, but marketing do a lot of work to get the signal so that once it comes into sales, sales already knows which way to funnel it. Like, what are we going to do with this lead considering what we already know about it even before we talk to them?
Right. And the other thing from a marketing perspective, I think it's important to understand that if you cut corners or if you do very short-term things to generate a certain number, right? But that number, the way that you generated these, you know, X amount of additional leads this month was very different from how you usually do it, that will impact sales most likely. So you might still go, hey, we achieved our 10% growth on the marketing side, but the way we achieved that is also important. Was it the same sources that we usually do? Was it a totally different tactic? Did we start just buying more aggressively leads at a lower quality level to hit certain numbers? And then if you do these things on the marketing side, you can, if you have an understanding of what's happening on the sales side, you'll know, well, we hit that goal this month, but next month we're going to have a problem on the sales side. Because next month, these salespeople will be talking to leads that all of a sudden are much harder to sell to, are converting at a much lower point, and the sales team will have to struggle a lot harder and do a lot more work and get less results, right? So just being aware of that allows you to anticipate for problems down the line. And from the marketing perspective, I think taking pride and ownership into knowing that, oh, this month when we did really well, we're going to empower the sales team to kill it next month. Or this month we cut some corners and we did some short-term things that are not that smart. And it's going to come around next month and it's going to create issues.
So what I've done one time when I saw a really messy situation in sales is I recommended that they start running experiments between marketing and sales around these kind of experimental leads. So it came from marketing where it's like, hey, there's these channels we can get leads from, but we don't know how good they are. And we don't know if we can close them, and they're a little bit different than what we normally do or what our normal systems look like. And so we actually paired a marketing